His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Do you recall feeling anything within you?
What people call love.
Now you're touched now.
Yeah, what you call love.
You got tears in your eyes now, so something must have really happened.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, for a 9-year-old to remember it that well.
Yeah.
What did so?
I remember we were standing right there in the doorway of their house. She knew right away
that you got born again.
No, that I needed a prayer and I needed to accept Jesus. As soon as she came to the door,
yeah,
she could see it and like sense it on me that I was distraught. It was another bout of physical abuse.
God bless that woman.
Yeah.
She could see the abuse, you said?
Oh, I'm pretty sure everyone, you know, the cops show up at your house enough, you know, something's going on over there. And,
nine
you know, the neighbors knew. And they were right. They weren't directly across the street. They were next door to the neighbor.
So what do you remember about that prayer that would convert you? Because Jesus said, make sure you're born again. There's a lot of people sitting in church pews. There's even people out there that think they're born again that are not born again. And then there's people out there that have no idea that they're born again, but they are born again. They've had a conversion with Jesus. All they know is they love the Lord. They don't know that the switch was made.
Well, I remember something that I didn't, that now that you asked that question, separated me, which why I didn't give up alcohol right away, even after trying and accepting Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You know, I still clung to alcohol.
Were reservation. You drinking back
there was
then
no,
at nine?
No, there was no reservation for my safety anymore out in this physical realm of life.
You mean after?
At that moment, I had no reservation that I would be okay anymore.
You knew you would be.
And then I knew there had to be a way for me to be okay. And what do we call Jesus? The way, the light,
truth
and the truth.
Lord. Yeah.
And I just knew, like she knew, because of how she had known what I was carrying, and it really goes without explaining, you know. It's, you know, you have miraculous spiritual experiences in your life, and I've had more after that, and like they become almost near impossible to talk about because it's hard to put into English words, the feelings, what happened, you know.
Unctions, a feeling, like the day my mom died, I'd already been on the phone with her. I got home, and literally 3 minutes later, an unction within me, not an audible voice, said,
yes.
Call your mother, call her now. I'm not going to call my mother. I just got a phone. Call your mother, call her now. I called her. The ambulance was already on the way. She'd called them. She'd been fine when we got off the phone 10 minutes earlier, and one of her aneurysms had burst. I managed to get to her house. She did die that day, but I got to see her one last time because of that. But an unction, it's weird. It's almost like you can hear a voice, but you don't hear a voice, right?
So my thing is this, too. So there's it's a voice, we call it, right?
Yeah.
Where Vero's voice.
Yeah.
It's a voice, right?
Yeah.
That we can hear, but these ears don't hear it. So what ears hear it?
Spiritual.
We have a whole nother being. A whole nother being that we are, besides these ears, this voice. You know, when you think in your head, what voice box is saying that? When you're doing the voice, when you're controlling the words, it's a whole nother being. It's, you said, it's spiritual.
That's funny. So at nine, now, is that something you just remembered today, the first time?
No, that kind of stuck with me for a while.
The idea that you knew. There'd been a transformation,
yes.
And you knew somehow now you could settle down. You had an advocate. Everything was going to be okay. And that's why you really cried. You said you cried violently, right?
Oh, I was. I couldn't speak. I was just crying.
What did the people there think about this little boy who was nine after leading him to Jesus is crying and crying?
I don't know. I think, you know, they were genuinely loved me and cared for me. I knew that.
Yeah.
And I knew it was a level of love that I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, what comes from Christ, verse 3, Father.
That's really cool. But yet, you know, that was within you. Okay, so now you have
That seed was planted, but, you know, that doesn't stop with the happenstance of my life and the circumstance.
What happened next? After nine, that's when you ended up living with foster people?
It was, I think, first time I went to foster care, I think I was actually 10.
Okay, so it's a year later.
Or I don't remember it. Actually, I was told from some of my family members that the first time my mom had lost us, we were actually toddlers, me and my brother.
Well, you would have no memory of that.
No. I do have a memory of 2 years old of watching my stepdad being walked out in his underwear by the police because he had brutally abused me then at 2 years
brutally
old.
Brutally abused you?
Like, my mom said I was beaten until I was black and blue.
Who would beat a two-year-old?
Someone with very deep issues who doesn't know the love of Christ.
And this was a stepfather?
Yes.
Not your father?
I did find out that he didn't like my dad, and they grew up in the same town, and they actually had quite a physical and malicious rivalry back then. You know, that they had some real
I had a similar thing. I had a man later in life who, after my father was killed the day before my fifth birthday in a car accident, a man that adopted me through my mom, who abused me not physically but verbally for years, and he had an altercation with my father on the golf course, and so they didn't like each other. I thought,
resentment is such a hard thing to carry, and we never carry it with good intention. You know, which is why I think it's very important, like resentment and reservations and having these things that we carry around, they really, really can hinder us from being able to love and have CPR for others.
Okay, so you end up going to a foster home at 10.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was tough.
Were they Christians?
I remember my first foster home, the father of the household worked the train. He was the guy that, you know, punched your ticket card on the subway train
conductor.
In New York. Yeah, conductor.
All aboard.
I remember he had like these books of tickets and little punch card things. And I remember he got home. He worked night shift, graveyard shift. So I would see him as he got home in the mornings on the weekends.
Yeah.
And he showed me CryptoQuip in the newspaper. I seen him doing one.
What's that?
That's where, like, all the letters are different letters, but it's, a wise saying, and it'll normally have, like, a quote and whoever said it.
Yeah.
And you have to decipher which letter is which. Like, so the letters are all jumbled to mean different letters. Like, X would be Y, or B would be H, and then you'd plug in. You would be able to use word, like, if it was XL or XSS, if you would think maybe the X is an A, maybe the S's are L's because all is an actual word. You would use context like that to figure it out. And I did it at like 9, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like blown away that I could like decipher it. And then that became a little hobby of mine, was doing crypto quips.
Really?
And so,
what probably helped you gain better language skills?
Yeah. Well, I always had, I always liked to figure things out. Take things apart and figure them out very like mechanically and methodically. You know, I like to figure things out.
So this was a foster father.
Yes, he was. Yep.
So why did you have to leave that home?
I don't remember that. Why I left that one?
What happened next?
And then there was another one that I remember. We were in, and I kept getting into physical altercations with this one kid that had been there at this foster home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much for what I could explain as any other way back then, I considered him a crybaby, right? He would always get upset over very little things and be crying to the mom, and she would coddle him. And, you know, I had nothing like that, really, to my knowledge or experience.
You don't remember being held or loved?
My mom did love me. She did actually, I feel like she did favor me a little bit because I was she called her bud, because I came out as big as that cup.
You were little, huh?
1 pound, 7 ounces.
Yeah.
And,
that's little.
Yeah. I needed a blood transfusion.
I've had a hamburger bigger than that.
Yeah, for real, right? Me too.
That's
I don't
crazy.
I don't like my hamburger smaller than that. Yeah, I'm a real American, you know? My hamburger better be at least the size I was when I was born. Which is cool. I just did the math recently. I'm 100 times that size now, over 100 times that size. Not many people can say they've grew 100 times bigger than when they were born.
So how much do you weigh now?
I walk around at about 155.
155. How tall are you?
5'7". I mean, 5'6", sorry.
5'6", okay.
Yeah, 5'6". 5'7" with shoes on.
Yeah. Well, you're in shape, though, because you're a professional boxer.
Yes. I have an athletic build. And I always kind of did. I wasn't in great shape until I did that 90 days with Richard, and then, like, you know.
Well, let's go back here. Okay, so you were that foster family. That ends. You go to another home?
Yeah, this one kicked us out or just dropped us off at like 8 o'clock at night because we were supposed to be going to lay down and get into bed, and I started a wrestling match with that kid. And she walked in, and I had him up in the air, and I was slamming him down like the powerbomb move that they had.
So you were imitating what you saw on TV.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, getting my kicks in, you know, getting some, you know, violence out, you know. And she opened the door just as I had him up in the air.
And what happened?
And I dropped him onto the bed, and she said, "That's it. Get you and your brother get your stuff together. That's it."
Oh, your brother was there with you too?
Yeah, the foster system did that all right. We're like, I guess they did that for that reason. Me and my brother, who were from the same dad, were in the same home, and they had my four other siblings that had the same dad in their home.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to find a foster home that has an opening for six kids.
So you end up being kicked out that night. What happens next?
I just remember being dropped off at the CPS office at 8 o'clock at night with a garbage bag of clothes. Me and my brother each had a garbage bag. And just,
at 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah. She walked up to the front desk where there's like a little window with the – she said, I can't handle them. You deal with them. Walked out, didn't even look over at us. She didn't look at us. She just walked straight out the door right past us. And I just remember looking over at my brother like – I'm sorry.
You feel bad about that still. Why?
Because it was violence.
Yeah. You were being violent because violence had been perpetrated on you.
Oh, yeah.
Now you were being violent with somebody else. That's all you knew, right?
Yeah.
So you two end up, what happens then with the two of you?
They find us another home, you know, for the night. And eventually, like I said, we wound up after getting bounced around. They put us in this other one. Then they give us back to my mom and my stepdad one time because somehow, you know, they did the parenting courses or whatever was asked of them to make it okay for us to go back. And even my CPS worker cried that day. Me and her both cried when she had to come pick us up from the last foster home before we went back. And she's like, you're going back. And I said, is Kenny there? My stepdad.
Hmm.
And she said, yeah. And we both just started crying.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
A.E. Stahls Real Estate and Associates is a hometown family company. Josh and Mandy Stahls, along with their two sons, have deep roots in this community. As a boutique brokerage, they are located steps away from Vero's beachside communities. They have a strong team of realtors, the tools, and experience to guide clients to the closing table. Helping clients feel confident in the buying and selling market is what they do. You can reach them at stallsrealestate.com, Facebook, or 772-800-8305.